It is time.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the magical talking hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
Is your name
also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com.
But then perhaps
the music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.
Talking.
And so then the judge says, I am no longer legally allowed to be further than 2,000 feet from a school at any time. I always have to stay within 2,000 feet of a school.
You do?
Yes. I know, I was surprised. Apparently it's never, this is not a sentencing that they've done before, but given the very odd and specific nature of my crimes, this is how they had to play it out.
So mandatory sentencing?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Well, I mean, it wasn't previous. I think I'm the first person to ever be convicted of this, so.
Really? Maybe you're just the first person to ever get caught.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant by convicted, too, so.
Oh. But, I mean, a person could get caught doing it and get off somehow, you'd think.
True.
Oh, well.
I feel like this bit didn't really land. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that's gay for Mole Man.
For what?
Mole Man. It's a Simpsons joke.
Okay.
I feel like I did it before on the show, but the fact that you don't recognize it.
Well, I don't remember things.
No,
you know that.
there's an episode where Bart and Lisa are playing. It's a kids' game. Trish does it with her sister, where you point at somebody and you're like, that's your boyfriend. And it's frequently you look at, you point out like who you think is the most terrible looking person possible. And so Bart and Lisa are doing that, and she's like, he's like, that's your boyfriend. She's like, well, that's your girlfriend. I think she points at the crazy cat lady or whatever. And then he's like, well, there's your boyfriend, points to Hans Molman. And she's like, no, that's your boyfriend. You're gay for Molman. And Bart's like, no, you're gay for Molman. Like, no, you are. And Molman says, nobody's ever gay for Mole Man. And that's the end of that bit, so.
I see.
So, we are. This podcast, only podcast in the world that's gay for Mole Man.
Okay.
It's like kissing a peanut. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 327.
Alright.
Now, so a huge weight is lifted off my shoulders whenever I remember what number the podcast is.
As we all feel.
I immediately relax a lot
I
after
like
that.
Right now, listeners are sighing in relief that you got it.
That's good.
Okay, so let's get through this because we got shit to do. Here's how the show works for those of you who don't know. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And awesome people like yourselves write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those questions into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its e pluribus unum servants, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. Anyway, it has been 3 weeks. Because I got sick. There are a lot of things we have to talk about. But we're not going to, I suspect. Because we're probably just going to talk about Wonder Woman. And I'm still scared about talking with Wonder Woman. About what you with Wonder Woman. I'm not scared about talking about you with Wonder Woman. We do it all the time. It's not a big deal. I'm scared about talking with you about Wonder Woman.
Why is that?
Because, although I am confident that you liked it, based on certain clues I have picked up, not the least of which is an offhand mention that you've apparently already seen it four times.
Four times.
I'm worried that you're going to have specific little things that bother you that you're going to focus on entirely in the conversation, and I, loving the film as I do, I'm just going to have to punch you in the throat repeatedly. I don't want to do that because you're my friend. So I'm worried about that. But we'll see what happens. So, how did you feel about Wonder Woman?
There's very little I can say about it that wouldn't give stuff away, so I don't
intend
to talk about it really at all.
Oh, See, because I feel that there's very few spoilers to it.
Okay.
But, yeah, I can only think of one real big spoiler in it. And even that one's not that interesting.
This is what I'll say about it. First of all, I'll point out that Christopher... The first Superman movie had a lot of problems. But because it got Superman 100% right,
mm-hmm.
it's like, you know, it's remembered with great affection, and it had a huge cultural impact.
Yeah.
Linda Carter's Wonder Woman television show was in many ways absolutely horrible. But because she got Wonder Woman exactly right, again, huge cultural impact, and it's remembered with great affection, by me included. I feel like this movie got Wonder Woman, whatever else it got wrong, it got Wonder Woman 100% right. And because of that, it will have a huge cultural impact, and 10, 20 years from now, when they make a new Wonder Woman, you know, hopefully that one will be even better. As for the things it got wrong, it got a lot less things wrong than the TV show did, for sure. Well,
yes.
There are many things that it got wrong that I don't think Patty Jenkins could have... I mean, some of the story elements that I didn't like, she didn't have a choice in.
Yeah.
I don't suspect she minded them, but she didn't have a choice in it. I think it accurately reflected... I think this Wonder Woman is the best representation of Wonder Woman that there's ever been, but that's not saying a lot, right? Because there's problems with how Wonder Woman has been portrayed, and some of those problems persisted in this, but a lot of other problems were... did not show themselves, and it overcame some previous problems. The first time my wife and I watched it, we were both ambivalent about it. Mm. For similar reasons, like when I left Batman Begins, I was ambivalent about it. Like, for example, you know, he just lets Ra's al Ghul die or whatever. It's like, well, yeah. Batman wouldn't do that, whatever, you know. But then, of course, as I watched it over and over again, that became a little minor, you know, hiccup in the thing, and I appreciated the rest of it. The first time we saw it, we naturally noticed a lot of the things that other people have noticed that they didn't quite like, and so it's like, well, yeah, those were problematic, but maybe if we watch it a second or third time, we'll see that it's not such a big deal. And of course, on each successive viewing, we liked it better and better and better. And in my opinion, this is the best superhero movie yet made. My opinion before this was that Iron Man was the best superhero movie yet made. But I think this beats it, and we hope to see it more times. Of course, we'll purchase it and watch it a lot. My wife is very pleased with it because she's a huge Wonder Woman fan.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it's important that we notice problematic aspects of our media and that we point those things out. But we can still enjoy those media, you know, depending on if there's anything left to enjoy about them after the criticisms are made. And she feels like Wonder Woman was very well represented, and that makes her very happy, and that makes me happy. So, you know, we think that it's getting all the positive things it's getting it deserves. I give a lot of credit, actually, to Patty Jenkins, because even though I think Gal Gadot did a fantastic job, this was Gal Gadot's first big-budget thing or whatever. So,
if you're hearing weird noises in the background, A, we have the air conditioning on, because I'm not turning off the air conditioning for you people. And B, Addy's just knocking shit over because he's kind of an asshole.
But
he's super cute, so he gets away with it.
I think the strength of Godot's performance probably relied a little bit on Patty Jenkins directing her very well. And I thought Jenkins made a lot of smart directorial decisions. So I give a lot of credit to her for its success. So yeah, generally I only have positive things to say about it. I mean, I could talk about those negative things, but people can go out and find that stuff in articles and stuff. I don't really have to speak to that. And I don't think I can without spoiling it anyway.
Surprisingly, having read a lot of stuff about it, I think the only criticisms I've found out there are ones that I witnessed in a conversation between you and Jez. Like, I haven't heard other people. Now, the stuff that I saw you say, some of it I agreed with.
Mm.
But out there, I have not. The only negative responses I've found to it are those few reviews that are just sexist bullshit. Like the Vulture review and stuff like that, which I had heard was bad, so I had to go read it, and I was just like, oh my god, yes. But I agree with you on certain points. I don't agree with you on certain points, although most of them I agree with. I loved it. I also consider it the best superhero movie to date. Prior to this, actually, the week before this, I would have said the Guardians of the Galaxy movies were my favorite, because I really enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy 2, people. You should also go see that. Very good. Very funny. I enjoyed it. Eventually, it's going to come out on DVD and Blu-ray, and somebody's going to put the opening credits on YouTube, and I'm going to watch that on repeat for like 3 days. That may be one of my favorite segments of film ever.
You are a sucker for that kind of thing.
It was just... Yeah, I loved that part. But the whole thing was really good, and I enjoyed that. And then I promptly forgot about it because I saw Wonder Woman. I absolutely loved Wonder Woman. It is not perfect. Definitely not perfect. It is definitely better than I expected. And honestly, better than I'd hoped. Like, in my best case scenario for how good the movie could be, it was not as good as it actually ended up being. I was blown away. I love it in terms of feminist and female representation. Tons. It did a great job in that. But what I love is, that aside, I just love the movie. Like, the movie's really good, even if you're not taking into consideration the tremendous strides that this single movie managed to do for the entire genre.
Agreed.
It's just a good movie. It's well filmed. It's incredibly well acted. Very well cast. I loved what they did with Steve Trevor.
Oh, I did too.
I have heard some people push back a little bit, but I've also heard a lot of people saying, thank God he doesn't seem anything like Steve Trevor from the comics.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
And I thought Gal and Chris had amazing chemistry.
Yeah.
And he did, and I loved it, because I was a little worried how that was going to go, and just very early on, like, yeah, Steve Trevor, and this is definitely a man of his time and of his place, but he's also not an idiot, and then things go from there.
He's a very practical guy.
Yes, but he's not, you know, he's not in denial.
No, right.
And he's not an asshole, and that's wonderful. The entire cast is great. I would have liked to see more Etta Candy.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they handled what is a beloved and yet very problematic character wonderfully. And it also feels weird, because supposedly there are essentially no deleted scenes.
That's right.
But it feels like she was in more scenes that we didn't see. I don't know. She's such... Like, they locked that character in so tightly for such an incredibly small amount of stuff. I feel like they must have filmed more with her.
Well, you know, I hear a lot of people... Every single character who, maybe not every single one, but like, there were several characters, including her, you know, pretty much all the Amazons, and the people that Diana and Steve interacted with most, who I would have loved to see more of.
Yeah.
Now some people felt slighted enough by that they actually dinged the film for it. But to me, the fact that I cared about these characters who were introduced for such a brief period of time so much that I wanted to see... if they did a movie about Steve and his team before, like a World War One period piece before Diana comes along,
yeah.
I would totally watch that!
I would totally watch it!
DC's
version of the Howling Commandos.
I would totally watch that, because it would be really good.
And how about the fact that the movie's 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2 hours and 21 minutes long, and other than arguably the climactic battle, nothing felt like it drug on too long. I was never bored. It did not seem like it was... So where the hell would you have put that? Like, what would you have taken out? I would not have liked to take out things.
No, that's right. Well,
so, and I wouldn't have liked a three-hour movie.
There were three... I tried to read all of the critical reviews, because there, frankly, aren't very many of them, so it should be easy to keep up, but I've probably missed like 10 of them out of the 20 or 30 that you see noted in Rotten Tomatoes. And I basically saw three types. One type talked about the pacing being off. But in every case, for some of these reviewers, I know the kind of stuff they'd like and some of the stuff they review. And what I got from that was, no, there wasn't anything wrong with the pacing of this film. It just wasn't the pace the way you thought it should be for a superhero action movie.
Because I'm like, I didn't feel...
No, there were no pacing movies. Patty Jenkins made a deliberate choice to pace it the way she did. She probably knew perfectly well that some people would not like that she replaced a whole bunch of explosions with actual story, but that's what she chose to do. There was no pacing trouble. It's just some people wanted
We had a shit ton of explosions.
Well, I know, but some people want more stuff like that.
And I actually really kind of... Some people didn't like the sort of climactic battle.
Well, and that's...
I kind of did. Well, I see the argument, but yes, I was cool with it.
That's the second thing that I saw criticized a lot, but most of those criticisms came in reviews that I found oddly... I have a big problem with reviews that seem to be criticizing less the film than the genre the film is in.
You don't
criticize a Western for having too many people with cowboy hats. I mean, that's just what Westerns are like.
And actually, this is very interesting. I had a friend who very much did not like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and it came back down to two very specific things. There is a single scene that takes place in a scenario that is just horribly sexist and misogynist. And it really was, and it was shitty, but it was like 5 minutes. And actually, it was mostly in the background, because we had a scene between two major characters in the front. And then they found the primary antagonist problematic. Hmm. And some of that's the actual comic book character fault. But some of it is, they did weird things with that character. But I had to sit her down and be like, I absolutely agree with you on both of those things. But you're setting the bar to a point that if even that amount of stuff is enough to make it bad, we can't critique any superhero movies that exist right now, because none of them pass that bar.
Well, right. I mean,
so accepting that that is not okay, and that's the thing. I am now remembering, I have seen some minor criticisms for Wonder Woman, and I have some myself, and they are pretty much across the board criticisms I have for every single other superhero movie that's out now.
Sure, exactly.
And in most cases, it's less than I have for most.
Yeah,
of the
right. I mean, some people were saying, "Oh, it looked like it was checking off all the superhero boxes," but okay, it is a superhero movie, so.
And there is a certain breadth of appeal they have to do.
That's right.
But part of that agenda previously has included that it can't really be about the women.
And we
broke through that like a motherfucker. And people who aren't even super into the feminist angle are busy saying, DC, make the rest of your movies like this.
Yeah.
This should be your Iron Man that you build from.
Right. Well, and the third type of criticism has been about representation, or it's political, or things of that nature.
Which absolutely exists, but again, I mean, it's going to be a beautiful day when we get a superhero movie that doesn't have that.
Agreed.
We'll both probably be dead of old age.
I agree. But I'll say this. There's even the first viewing, which I said my wife and I were both ambivalent about, there hasn't been a single viewing where I didn't like weep like multiple times during the movie.
Right. That's the
every single time.
I technically didn't cry. I almost never do. We've discussed this. But I have this thing where I get like misty almost, and it happened like 5 times, and the first one was immediately.
Yeah.
Just immediately. We start off with little 8-year-old Diana. And that scene had me tearing up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God. It's so... And you know, she was a hit. Everyone's like, oh, my God, who is she?
Yeah.
By the way, just for other people who haven't figured it out, and, I mean, I those deadly words, I don't consider this a spoiler. on Themyscira, the island, there's a general of the army. And you know her. And you look at her, and you're like, I know her. Who the hell is that? And I couldn't figure it out. But I'm like, I absolutely know. Who is it? And the closest I'm doing, I think I know the trick of it. My mind was like, is it Linda Hamilton? No, it's not Linda Hamilton. And then the credits come, and it's Robin goddamn Wright. And I'm like, of course it's Robin goddamn Wright, because I was staring into the face of Mrs. Underwood from House of Cards. And it was absolutely her, and she was amazing. And I'm pissed off, because a lot of people said they liked this enough that they're going to watch Justice League for the parts with Wonder Woman. And I'm like, no, it's not worth it to me. I'm not doing it. And now I find out we're going to have presumably flashback stuff where her mom and her aunt, who's the general, are in it.
Yeah, I've
heard
that. And
I'm like, God damn it! I might have to see Justice League then. I don't want to see Justice League. But it was just so amazing. And yeah, you could have made an entire movie on Themyscira, and I'd be super happy.
Well,
but
I felt the same way, and you know, I was moved by all of the media coverage about it, and you know, women talking about.
Eventually.
But what always gets me most is when a person is talking about, and it doesn't matter if it's women or, like, you know, one article that I sent you was once it was an Asian person who was watching, an Asian American person, I believe, who was watching Force Awakens. And they admitted, if you'd asked me before I saw Force Awakens if I cared about Asian representation in media, I would have said, what does it matter, you know? But then when I saw, you know, there's a female Asian pilot,
yeah,
at the end of Force Awakens. And it's just the person does have lines, and they don't get killed.
Yeah.
And this person was so moved by this that they didn't even realize it would matter to them.
Well, and so I even knew this kind of stuff would matter. And also, okay, I, you know, my gender is a bit of a fluid issue, but, like, I've never had issues with people, representation of people that I can relate to, because I'm a white guy.
Right.
White American guy. But even I, and even going into this, being very excited about this, like, something inside that I didn't know was there, like, grew three sizes that day when I saw her. And the infamous No Man's Land scene, which is, as much as I'm going to spoil it, is just to tell you that's the title, because it's everywhere now. Awe-inspired. Like, I'm going to have dreams about
it. No, that. Right. I mean,
if you take one thing that, like, decades from now, whatever comes of this, we're going to say it started here. They're going to show you a clip of that.
No, I absolutely agreed. And there were a lot of articles from women who were surprised at the impact that it had on them. And I mean, you heard this over and over, that women would say, I didn't know I needed this. I didn't know I needed to see this.
Did, like, I feel like a lot of us, because, again, I had this, didn't know we needed it as much as we did. Like I can't. I was very excited, and I wanted this to be, and it was awesome, and it still just, like, welled up inside me beyond what I was expecting.
Well, for many, it started right in the original shots, even of the Amazons training.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, again, not a spoiler, because it's, like, right at the beginning of the movie.
And also their Amazons.
But what impressed people was when they reflected on why that was so moving, they realized, well, it's because of how the camera's moving, it's where the camera's focusing, it's all this stuff. It's... people are constantly registering how in previous movies, when you have women who are doing physical things, even if they're being heroic, how sexualized the camera positions and movement are.
Yep, 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 yep.
And
because that's the thing, you don't say we've never seen women practicing fighting.
No,
well, we absolutely have.
Just
it has
not
just been filmed,
like,
very differently.
Yes, it's just not like that.
Yeah.
And so people are realizing how much it really matters. And even Patty Jenkins was surprised by how people have responded to it. Because Patty Jenkins, when she shot it, wasn't thinking, I'm not going to shoot this in a sexualized way.
She just didn't do it.
Just a woman,
yeah,
who is heterosexual, who it just didn't occur to her to shoot it that way.
And that's the thing. And it's not everything by a long shot.
No,
but I'd
right,
say
right.
80% of dealing with how do you do female representation is just do the exact same fucking thing you're doing with the guy.
Exactly. That's right. That's right.
Probably 80%. And that's the thing. There were bits in this that I'm like, it wasn't just a gender flip. There were bits that would have seemed out of place in a male superhero movie and stuff, but that's okay. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they were pandering. I think they were appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
But, okay, so now here's the fun thing. Set aside all of that, this movie was just... The dialogue was tight. I personally think, and some people will disagree, this was some of my favorite fight choreography ever.
Oh yeah, I loved it.
Mm-hmm. It was very unrealistic, and for some people that's bad,
right.
But I loved it. It was gorgeous, while not being sexualized. Like, it was amazing.
Powerful, it's very powerful.
Yes, yes, and just very cool. And you could fucking see it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was lit, and they did the slow motion to fast motion thing, because Zack Snyder made a deal years ago with a higher power that he has to put that in every movie that he ever touches.
I didn't mind it.
But I didn't this time, because too often it does to where it gets really blurry and choppy, but you could see all of this, and it was amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I loved the fights. And this is one that blew me away. This is an incredibly small spoiler. Basically, if you're one of those people who's really big into spoilers, this might bother you, but otherwise, all right. There is a scene that is a classic trope of so many scenes like this, where Wonder Woman is going to basically knock someone out and steal their clothes to have, like stealing the guard's uniform kind of thing. It's a woman who's going to go to this thing, and she's going to take her clothes, and we have a bit where she's, like, scoping her out and stuff like this. You know, we don't have
her knocking
the scene
her out.
Where we find her later in her underwear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because... And generally speaking, when you have that scene with a dude, it's for comedic effect, and for a woman, it's for titillation. And the scene was not tiny. The scene, we had a lot of stuff playing up to this. This was not a small point, but we just didn't have that hacky, cliched bit, and we didn't need it, and everything still made total sense. The biggest complaint I could wage at it, from a film perspective, the antagonists were light. The antagonists were thin. In fact, the primary antagonist for most of the movie seemed almost generic. I kind of was waiting for when we were going to find out the extra stuff that would make them more interesting. Mm-hmm. And that didn't really happen. But I'm okay with that, because that was not the primary focus of this movie.
No, no.
And I do want to say also, every superhero movie has to have a message, and it's a very weak middle school, if they taught philosophy in middle school, kind of message. Every superhero movie has one of those.
Yeah.
It's frequently just shit like believe in yourself or whatever. This one also has one, and I will say they're a little on the nose with it at the end. But that being said, I actually really like the message of this, and I think, like, I relate to this message much more strongly than I do a lot of others. Mm-hmm. I liked what this movie had to say in a general sense, even admitting it's a little insipid, because they all tend to be, because, yeah, believe in yourself, you know. But I thought, and I'm not going to spoil what that sort of message is here, but...
But again, I mean...
It's also a movie full of people with very attractive eyes.
Okay.
Like, there were just a lot of close, tight shots on people's eyes, and everybody had beautiful eyes. Not just the two main characters, who absolutely did, but so many shots. I realized eventually, I'm like, this is like the fourth person. We've gotten a real close-up of their eyes, and their eyes are gorgeous. Everybody's eyes are gorgeous.
I really liked the portrayal of Dr. Poison. I mean, like you said, the villains were pretty thin, but I loved her portrayal.
The one real scene she got was a very good scene. I enjoyed that. But I felt like we spent almost no time with her. And that's the thing. I kept being like, there has to be more to this character. And I think there is, because she comes out of the comics, I think.
Sure, she does.
But I'm not familiar with that at all.
But look at what that actor did with it.
Oh, yeah. No,
with most of her face covered and everything?
Nobody did anything other than a brilliant acting job in this entire movie.
It was amazing.
And the rest of the not howling commandos, I loved. Especially Sammy. Loved him. Like to the degree that I went and looked up that actor later, because I'm like, holy shit, who is this guy? And it turns out I've seen him in like 7 movies.
Oh yeah, he's been in.
But he always plays like the sheik who has one line. The poor bastard. Like everything I've seen in, he's in a part where he just has to look vaguely Arab and be in the background.
Yeah.
So it was really fun for that. I'm always a fan of Chris Pine, but he just nailed this. I mean, to the degree that I feel like the script, what it was, the direction, what it was, a different actor could have made that role suck. But he nailed it. And I firmly believe the two of them had amazing chemistry.
Well,
I absolutely bought that.
I feel like, I mean, if superhero movies ever got Oscar nominations, he would deserve a supporting actor nomination in my book.
He's a so really good actor. He, like, it's tricky because he picks some stuff that I just have no interest in seeing.
I realize.
But otherwise, he's a really good actor.
Well, my wife and I both enjoyed The Finest Hour. Finest Hours, I forget it's Hour. Finest Hour or Hours.
Yeah.
He's in it. It's a very good film. He does a very good job in it. I recommend it to
That's
people.
Not the Mark Wahlberg oil rig fire thing, right?
No, this is the one where there's a storm, and this guy and a crew of he works for, I don't know, the Coast Guard or something. He has to go out and rescue some people who are stranded. It's get through a storm and stuff. It's based on a true story.
Oh, okay.
But he did a really good job in it. But yeah, I mean, when he's in Star Trek, it's like I felt like what he did with Captain Kirk's character in the first Star Trek was actually quite smart.
Yes.
the other two movies aren't that good, and I don't really fault him for that.
Well, and it's awesome if you can channel William Shatner's performance while not doing a William Shatner impression.
That's exactly
He right. absolutely took William Shatner's vibe and just modernized
it. No, I thought he did a great job. But he's good in that other film, and I just thought he was so good in this.
He's just been... He was one of the princes in the Into the Woods movie and stuff. Even in just little parts, he just is... Mm. He's good.
I've also watched a lot of interviews with him. He seems like a really nice guy, so... So yeah, we hope to see it several more times. I thought by the time I saw you tonight, we'd have seen it four more times. Huh? But there have been my brother from who lives in Alaska came into town. So I had to visit him, and we gamed on Sunday when we hadn't done that for months. So a lot of things preventing us from seeing it several more times, but we probably will.
I do have two specific other Wonder Woman things I want to discuss. One of which I think you'll find cool, and one of which I think may turn into a debate between us. Because I'm mostly coming up with the second one just to sort of rib you, but I do kind of believe it, so I think it'll make an interesting conversation. So I'm going to save that one for a second. But the other one here, and I want to tell people, obviously, we shouldn't have to say this, but we're going to. If you haven't seen it yet, go fucking see it. Right now.
Please
pause
do.
The podcast, go see it, come back, listen to the rest. Although realistically, you probably should have paused it 20 minutes ago before we told you the things we did. But here's the thing. Parents can decide for themselves, not outserving the same. In our theater, there were a lot of young girls, I'm going to say 7, 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
Nobody had a problem. Everybody loved it.
Okay.
It is set in World War I. There are explosions. There are people getting shot. There are plenty of people that die. There's virtually no blood.
Well, I mean, they were going for that PG-13 rating.
Yeah, to try and get in there. And in fact, I think they would have gone for PG if it weren't for the historical setting, and they couldn't really avoid it.
Yeah.
And I've known others who went, and the thing is, it's making waves to that level. There was on Twitter, Patty Jenkins posted a thing that one of the producers had sent her, that was from the producer's friend, who is a kindergarten teacher, talking about the changes she has seen amongst the school, since this happened.
Right.
And it's stuff like the boy who was making fun of it now, is trading in his Superman lunchbox. He wants a Wonder Woman lunchbox.
His Iron Man lunchbox.
Oh, his Iron Man one.
Yeah, he was an Iron Man fan.
One girl who was a little obstinate about it did whisper a confession to the teacher that it was better than Frozen. bunch of girls playing on the playground, and they all wanted to be Wonder Woman, and so they all agreed that they would all be Amazons and work together, because that's what the Amazons do.
That was my favorite one.
My favorite was the little boy wanders by and drops a candy wrapper on the ground, and a 5-year-old yells, "You're destroying the environment! This is why there's no men allowed on Themyscira!" Oh, also should say another thing. And I know a lot of people have taken it that it wasn't a great scene, that there was an early scene that showed some skin that a lot of people didn't think was a great scene. And I think you can argue that. But what I really love is essentially... one person gets undressed in this movie, and it's Chris Pine. And I was like, I find that fitting somehow. I was like, the only person put in that weird, vulnerable position was the male lead, not the female lead.
Well, I want to talk about another scene that really impressed me, but I won't, because it might spoil something. But sure. it was also one that you typically see a female... in that role, but instead it was Chris Pine doing
it. But at no point did it seem awkward, or did he seem to lose his masculinity?
No, that's right.
He was still super hot badass man.
Well, it always made sense. It never felt like, oh look, here we're gonna flip the script. I mean, they did, but they weren't doing it for the sake of doing it. It always fit in well with the story.
And honestly, that the scene on the boat, like. There's romance aspects in this film, so be prepared for that, because there always is. But they did him so well.
Well, that's consistent.
I was nervous, but like the scene on the boat, it was just adorable. That whole thing, I loved it.
That's consistent with the comic books.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, that's one of the things a lot of feminists object to about Wonder Woman. And I, of course, if I were doing a Wonder Woman story, I probably wouldn't write it that way. But the fact of the matter is, since the very beginning, that's been a thing.
Yeah.
What's especially good is... when Marston wrote it, She left her the island because she fell in love with Steve, more or less.
Yeah.
And it's at least an improvement that she's leaving for some other reason, yeah, yeah, and then the whole falling in love bit is later different.
And it sort of comes up like it's not she's not pure and chaste virginy,
no,
Wonder Woman, which is awesome. And that's the thing, you knew it was gonna be there, and they could have made it hearts and butterflies, lovey-dovey bullshit that just ruined everything. This is probably one of the... probably is the best romance I've seen in the superhero movies also.
Well, yeah, I think it's... I think there's... I saw some criticisms of it in various ways. And in every case, I felt like they totally missed the point.
Yeah.
Because the whole reason why the... to me, the whole reason why the romance unfolded the way it was because... it's just like you said, just about every other way people thought it should or would be more realistic, or they just wanted to see it go that way. It's like you're making Diana not just naive but stupid, yeah, or like you said, a virgin or whatever. I mean, the way they presented it,
I think it's very believable.
Oh yeah, for
the type of people they are.
Yeah, right.
I would not have had a relationship like that, but they are the sorts of people that I feel like that's how the romance
progresses. But it also makes sense if you assume that Diana had probably had other experiences,
yeah.
In romance and sexuality before this.
And it very much was a romantic thing that was very mutual.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Very, nobody was leading the other, nobody was, you know,
well, yeah,
taking the other into their brain. Like, it was a very respectful thing,
sure,
between equals,
sure,
but
sure,
still...
Sure.
Really romantic and kind of hot. I mean, it wasn't particularly explicit, but it was. I thought that it was sexy in a lot of places.
Well, I mean, I've heard some people, you know, talk about Steve like it's her first love or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like the film portrayed it that way,
no,
at all.
No.
In fact, had it done so, it almost would have made Steve look a little creepy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, here you have this person that doesn't really know what's going on and is really naive and you're kind of going to take advantage of that? But it didn't seem like that at all.
I think an argument could be made that Steve's just a hair's breadth more into it than Diana is.
I think you're right. I think that might be true.
I think it's kind of just a certain scene. But it's not... I couldn't explain it to you. You have to see it because it's all about looks on people's faces certain times. And there's so much of that in this movie. And so much is told through the expressions on people's faces.
Yeah.
All the stuff in London. I mean, it's great dialogue as well. But so much is just the looks people give each other.
Yeah.
I just love that it did all the things I hoped it would do, but it also was the best superhero movie I've seen.
Yeah, it was really good.
And I love the use of the invisible jet. It was very subtle.
Yeah, very subtle.
Definitely parked outside the Louvre. We couldn't see it, but I know it was there.
Yeah.
did that get back to you? There was a Penny Arcade where he's like, "I loved everything." It was Gabriel's like, "It was good. I mean, it was really good." It's like, "The only thing I hated was that the invisible jet wasn't in it." And the other guy's like, "How do you know?" And he's like, "Well, I would have seen it. I mean," and I'm like, "No, clearly it's parked outside the loop." And I talked with Dan about this, and Dan starts telling me about the actual canonical history of the invisible jet, and it's the dumbest fucking thing in the world. Way back in antiquated times, the gods made the invisible jet, back when there was no such thing as any of this, and then split it into three pieces and scattered it across the world, and she had to go, like, hunt it down and shit. It's ridiculous.
Well, I never heard of that.
Yeah, apparently it's... they always know the way back origins. But... okay, here's the tricky one. I'm gonna hit you with now. You're gonna dislike this. This is also the Superman movie I wanted.
Yeah, me too.
And this is also why I like Wonder Woman and I don't like Superman, because this is how I want Superman to be. And it might not work, because I realize the major distinction here is the humanity. Because she is also somebody of just ridiculous amounts of power, who absolutely wants to do good, 100% good. Not just like, you know, try your best, but like really wants to be good. But she feels like a real person trying to work this out. And there has always been an inhumanity to me with Superman. There is a nuance that didn't exist there. So Wonder Woman is now my favorite Superman movie. And I mean, I liked Wonder Woman. I feel a little bit of a bandwagon-y thing, and it kind of happened earlier too, but this is definitely pushing me into being a bigger Wonder Woman fan.
That's a lot of people are saying that.
And I although I, you know, I've sworn off the DC universe, I will absolutely watch any sequels to this.
Well, I hope they get Patty Jenkins to direct it. She was signed on to direct it, but...
But I, because I mean, this is absolutely making a statement about female-driven superhero and action films. I hope it's also making a statement about female-directed superhero and action
films. Yeah, I hope so.
Because, yeah, she did an amazing job. Everybody did an amazing job. It's a really good movie. People, go fucking see it and take your kids to it, because there's important lessons to this. Built into it. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, also super awesome. Like, I would be raving about how awesome it was right now if it had not been occluded by Wonder Woman. I really liked it.
We liked it alright.
And I think those are my favorite of the MCU movies. Have you seen the trailer for Black Panther?
Yes.
I think I'm excited. Here's the thing. Here's where we get into my white literal guilt thing. I saw stuff in that trailer that felt to me like it had the potential to be co-optive and sort of culturally exploitative.
Mm.
But nobody else seems to feel this way, including people who are speaking on behalf of, like, the black community and so forth.
Mm.
So I think it may just be my paranoia.
Oh, okay.
You know? And I hope that's true. Because, I mean, it is awesome to see... I mean, from a representation perspective, it's super cool. And it looks like it's going to be a cool movie. I think I just worry... I think that it's set in Africa. There's a lot of African stuff in it. Mm. And whenever I see a lot of African stuff, I'm like, oh, shit. What white guy decided to put this in, and did he know what the fuck he was doing? And but that's apparently not the case here, and so then I'm happy.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, is it racist if I say that? What do you mean? It wasn't racist until you asked. Now it feels racist. I don't know. Just trying not to. That's a bit in Silicon Valley one time. Somebody says something, and TJ Miller's like, isn't that, do you think it's kind of racist? And the other guy who's of color, I don't even remember now, but he's like, no, but the fact that you're asking feels kind of, and he's like, and you can tell, he's just like, I just don't want to be racist, but I don't know. And this is the same thing here. Like, I don't want this movie to be racist. And maybe it's super not, and that's awesome. But I'm like, I can't tell. Somebody explain to me whether or not it's racist. But yeah, I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was really good. You should go see it. I want to talk about one other thing in particular. And then we really better pull out a question. So, there's a TV show on the CW. It is called The 100.
Yeah.
You familiar?
Yes, I've seen some episodes.
You've seen some episodes, all right. For those of you playing at home, it is a sci-fi story where the usual Earth nuked the shit out of itself and everybody died, except there were some people in space stations because it was the near future and so we had more space stations. And they're surviving. They all hook together into one mega Voltron space station and they're trying to survive because eventually, after a few generations, they hopefully can go back to Earth. But they're not doing super well. They've got resource issues and consequently, anytime you commit a crime, you're just killed. They just put you out of airlock. It's pretty severe, but, you know, they've got minimal resources. And to that end, they take 100 prisoners, because they don't have any prisoners unless you're underage, because they're not going to execute you until you're grown up. So they take 100 teenagers who are in prison and send them to Earth, ostensibly to see if it's better now, but really to get them out of the way so we can save the air and water for the rest of us. And they send them down there, and hijinks ensue. And everything I've just told you, including the fact that it's on the CW, made me never want to go near this.
Yeah, it's got a lame, Hunger Games-esque weird just setup.
Just
and
awful. Just everything just about nothing it. About it interested me.
Me neither.
And I had friends who saw the first few episodes, and they're like, it's exactly what you think it is. Skip it. And they stopped watching it.
Yeah.
So this was a while ago, because the show's been on a long time now. In fact, it's had 4 seasons. It's been renewed for a 5th, which is weird right there. I'm like, what's going on? But Trish decides she's going to watch it.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, just so you know, all the stuff I just said, have at it. I'm not watching it. She's like, okay. So she starts watching it. And she's like, yeah, I know, it's kind of like that. But then she's sort of powering through, and she's like, it kind of gets better.
I've heard that.
And then she finishes the whole season,
mm-hmm.
the first season, and she's like, it does get better. And I'm like, cool, glad you enjoy it, blah, 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 whatever. I'm thinking I might start Bates Motel soon, because I kind of am looking for something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely going to have to watch it. And then she's like, I know I brought this up before, but you might actually like this once you get past the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe, whatever. And then she's like, and then, like, a different time, she's like, seriously, like, I will wait. And she finally is like, I will rewatch the first season with you.
Hmm.
And then we can see. And I'm like, this woman knows me. She knows my objections.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So we're doing it. I'm committing to the first season, and mm-hmm. then I will decide. So starting last night we binged the first 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awful.
I think we might have watched the first 3.
And, well, and the bad thing, so we finished that, and I'm looking at Trish, I'm like, it gets better soon, right? And she's like, actually, the next episode is far and away the worst. Damn it! It's bad. I hate everyone, even the people I'm not supposed to
right,
hate.
Right.
Occasionally, I start to like somebody a little bit, they die. One dude, I liked him, and like, the next scene, after I finally liked him, dead. Oh my god. It's so Lord of the Flies-y at this point. Which she said, it is at the beginning. And even the grown-ups, because we spend a lot of time on the space station, too. There's sort of subplots there. Hate them, too. They're just all the worst people. Suck. Blech. That being said, production values are great. Acting, quite good. Just terrible, shitty stuff. So I'm like trudging through, but Jesus Christ, beginning, bad. But I did realize something later that night. All the stuff I hate is about those people, not about the writing or the acting.
Hmm.
Like, I don't like so-and-so.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I think they were written poorly or I think that actor is doing a poor job. I'm saying, fuck that guy. Which means I'm buying in.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I may fucking hate them, but I feel like they're real people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a good sign.
Maybe.
Well, and just in a practical sense, it's probably the kind of thing that will keep me going. And I've found, with any kind of show that's a sort of a hour-long action drama-y sort of thing like this, genre things in general, time will wear you down if you keep watching. Because they become part of your headspace, and so you start to care about what happens to them. And I even caught myself near the end of the 3rd episode, I actually had feelings about what was happening to people, rather than just being like, you're all garbage people.
Well, and eventually the original premise starts to become less and less important.
I think so, yeah.
Like, the original premise is so dumb, and it's like, well, now it doesn't really matter.
That's the hilarious thing, is a while back, maybe not when they had a 4th season, but they at least had 3, knowing I would never watch this, I went to Wikipedia, read the whole damn thing. Because I do that with a lot of shows and movies and stuff like that. Luckily, I do that so much that it all kind of blurs together, so I pretty much remember nothing about it. Although there are a couple things I'm like, oh, I think that's coming. And it has surprised me a couple of times. But yeah, I hate it, but I feel strongly about that. it's only 13 episodes in the first season, so I'm like, but yeah, the first 4, everything that's currently out is on Netflix. And then they're going to have a 5th season.
I've got some friends who like it, and I respect their opinion, and they agree that it started pretty slow, but for whatever reason, they stuck with it, maybe because they liked certain characters or certain actors.
Sometimes you just don't have anything else you're watching. That's maybe what happened with Elementary. Now it's still my favorite show on TV.
Yeah.
Although, I was kind of hoping this was going to be the last season, because I feel like it's time, and it's going to have another season. I'm not super happy about that.
We're still debating whether or not we're going to watch Winona Earp or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's back, and I don't know.
Is it back?
Yeah.
God damn it. Did our DVR just drop a series again?
I don't know.
I'll have to check if it recorded or not.
I'm pretty sure that its premiere
episode was on. Because we're absolutely going to see it again.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's back. I could be wrong.
Well, and that's the whole thing. To a degree, this is the Warehouse 13 effect again. Although Warehouse 13 did it better. I start caring about the people and enjoying their interactions and the plots, whatever.
Yeah.
Elementary is 100% that. The murder mysteries in Elementary are dumb as shit. But it's the people and the dynamic relationships that I find interesting. Yeah. So, alright, draw a thing out of that hat thing. Go see Wonder Woman, people. Do it.
Stew.
Stew, like the thickened soup, or... No, that was so stew. That stew right there was gone for a week on like vacation or something, and I didn't know it was happening. He just wasn't there, but then he comes back, and so I go over to see him that day. I'm like, "Hey, you're back. Welcome back. How was your vacation? Where'd you go?" Anyway, to the important thing, have you seen Wonder Woman? And he's like, "No." I'm like, "You go see it. You take Becca, who's his oldest." I was like, "I think you can even take Freya. Kieran might be too young, but you take the other two."
Have you or would you work overtime for your employer, Stu, written during overtime?
Wow, I hope your boss doesn't listen to our podcast.
I've worked overtime lots of times.
I definitely have worked overtime. I always prefer not to. As we all know, I don't like working. But more than that, having a job sucks in the sense that, like, I spend more time doing that than anything else.
That's right. Any other single thing, yeah.
And it's not... I'm not choosing to do it. I'm doing it what other people want, so they'll pay me.
Yeah, yeah.
So anytime I have the chance to not spend more time, I'll take it. So I will... And it's not... I will work when I feel needed, or when they tell me it's needed, because I don't have a choice. Outside of normal hours or whatever like that, I would vastly prefer comp time to overtime. Like, okay, I'll do this. I'll work this Saturday, but maybe then I take Monday off. You know, that kind of thing. And as I believe we have discussed, and this is a big thing at my place of work, the people who are exempt from overtime versus me who's non-exempt. I'm of the opinion that if you are salaried as opposed to hourly, that should mean you work however much it takes to get the job done. But what it means in the modern age is you work a full work week unless it takes more.
Yeah.
And I think that is utter bullshit. And so, I mean, if my job now required me to work overtime, of course I wouldn't quit over it or anything like that. But in general, if I have the option, I'm not going to do it. With the exception of if my coworkers that I care about really are in need. If I'm like, it's not about the company, it's about, you know what, they could use my help and it really would matter here. Then I'm gonna help out.
Sure.
But in general, if they're like, hey, we got enough stuff, you want some overtime? No, thank you. I do not like...
When I've worked jobs where there was overtime, I don't think I've ever refused it. Most jobs, I show up early and I leave late anyway, just as a matter of habit. You know, when we worked together, I got to work at like sometimes 5:30 or 6 because that was a good time to get some stuff done before everybody came in.
I assumed you just lived there.
I didn't leave any earlier, really. I worked until, I think I left at 4:30 usually. So that's a little earlier, but I would work till 5, 6, whatever. It didn't matter to me. I'm sure every single week I worked more than 40 hours, but that was fine with me because I felt like I was doing something important for my team. So...
Oh, don't get me wrong. When I'm helping out, I still want to get paid.
So, I don't know. I never really thought about it much, and I haven't had very many jobs that did pay overtime, even if I was working more than 40 hours. My first I think the first job I really ever had that was like a real job where like I had to fill out W-2s and stuff like that was Adventureland. And they paid $2.50 an hour under the pretense that since you're... Now, I realize I'm pushing 50, so maybe people will think, well, maybe that was a lot of money back then. No, it wasn't. There was a minimum wage, and this was way below it. The pretense
they
was...
They considered it a tippable position?
No. It was... There was a loophole where if you were young enough and if your agreement was to only work, say, 36 hours a week, they could get by with that.
Really?
Yep.
What the fuck kind of loophole is that?
I don't know, but I...
Because I know the tippable one, there's the tippable one and there's the commission one. Those are the primary loopholes.
There was a loophole.
That's some bullshit.
There was some loophole with like...
It's probably like it's an apprenticeship.
Or seasonal labor or something.
Oh,
there was some loophole like that. Probably designed originally for farmers, you know, who needed people to detassel, but they didn't have a lot of money to pay a big wage.
Yeah.
But Adventureland exploited it, and I never worked less than probably 60 hours a week, ever. But on paper, right? I was 16, 36 hours... You know, 250, but I never worked less than 60 hours. And then our school started 2 weeks after everyone else's, and so I worked like something like 80 hours a week some of those weeks, just double shifts. So, and that's the first time when I was doing that, when I was working double shifts at Adventureland for those 2 weeks where all of my colleagues were going back to school and I wasn't yet, and I looked at my paycheck and I saw how small it was for all that work, then it really hit me like, oh my gosh, that really sucks.
This is a lot of things that come up I've discovered lately. I have lost my memory of when I was willing to put up with bullshit. Like, I am constantly reminded by so many things that I could not go back to customer service work now. And like that kind of thing, I'm like, man, if that happened, I would have quit that job, or I would have, like, filed the suit. Something would have happened there. But I'm like, no, because I would have been that age, too, and I probably totally would. But I'm like, but I don't remember when the shift happened. Nowadays, I won't put up with any of that shit. But I clearly, when I was younger, I put up with that kind of crap.
Well, like I said, it was my first job, and I mean,
you're a kid.
I knew what we weren't getting paid enough, but I was also having fun, and I was meeting people, and you know, we were doing things we weren't supposed to do all the time, which made us feel like we were kind of making up for it, you know. So
I was lucky in that Oregon State does not have one of those deals where if you get tips they can pay you less than minimum wage. So my boss just paid me minimum wage, and the one time I got a raise was when the state minimum wage went up. But it wasn't, I didn't realize that was a thing until years later, and I'm like, what? They can pay you less than minimum wage for waiting tables? That's some bullshit there. And it's also where I get into my big arguments about tipping nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. That's your salary. Their salary, you're giving them there.
Yep.
That's what they need to survive.
So I guess, yes, I would work overtime. I have on many
cases. And technically I would too, but not if I can help it. Yeah, I mean, I've done it in lots of situations. I've got a friend right now who their work is just so slammed. He's working almost constant overtime. And he's not exempt, so I keep trying, like, hey, you're probably making some really good extra money there. But it's to the point he's just so burned out.
The first time I had a job where I was actually getting time and a half for overtime, because for most of my jobs, overtime just meant...
You didn't get paid for that.
No,
part.
I get
clock
paid
out and come back and work.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah, right. So, well, no, I would get paid for it, just a regular wage.
Okay.
But when I worked for Mercy Hospital here in town, you got time and a half over a certain amount, and boy, that was nice to get a big paycheck like that.
I do, because I remember working holidays on some places.
Yeah,
time and a half,
that was
that adds up quick.
That was nice. That was really nice.
So $3.75 an hour.
I think I got overtime pay at the university, too, when I worked for them a little bit. But yeah, it's when you do some overtime, get time and a half, or get time and a half for vacation, boy, that's really nice to get a check like that. But
yeah, there's so much shit nowadays that if it came up in the job, I'd be like, that's technically illegal. Whereas back in the day, I was like, that's technically illegal as I'm walking away to do it.
Yeah, right.
I don't know when this happened to me. All right, we're out of time. Remind me next week, I should talk. We've really started going with this Dungeon World campaign, and there's something about it. It's going good.
Oh, good.
I don't know how much is the system, how much is the GM's really coming up with cool stuff. There also is a component. I think everybody's really particularly into the character they're playing.
Oh, good.
But yeah, we've just hit on something. I think this campaign's going to be really cool.
Good.
The rest of you, if your life is such that the only options you have are to either listen to our podcast or see Wonder Woman, like ever, like you can only do one in your lifetime, I'm sorry to see you go, but fucking go see Wonder Woman. But otherwise, come back next week and listen some more. And go on the blog and tell us what you liked about Wonder Woman. While not spoiling things, at least no more than we have. Jazz. Also, probably other people. I'm betting at this point, with the exception of Stu, because Stu's a total loser, like everybody who listens to this still has probably seen it.
I hope so.
A lot of them I know for a fact I've seen it more than once. So go do that. Also, go come back here.